In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot of seed sowing going on in our text for today. And after a run-in with an angry lawnmower last year, I have a better understanding of how the sower in the parable must have felt. I've always had a high spot out in my front lawn. And because it's a high spot, the water runs off of it quicker, the sun bakes it hotter, and the ground there gets harder. It's always been a challenge to keep grass growing on that high spot. Then late last summer, the young man whom I pay to mow my lawn forgot to raise his mowing deck before coming to that spot, and before he knew it, there was dirt and rocks and turf flying everywhere. In other words, my high spot was now a bare spot. And the water continued to run off of it, and the sun continued to bake it, and the ground just kept getting harder and harder. Well, I immediately attempted to reseed, but by that time it was too hot to grow grass. The fall rolled around, and I reseeded again, but by that time it was too dry to grow grass. Spring came, and I reseeded, but the pre-emergent that the lawn company put on my lawn to keep the crabgrass from germinating kept my lawn seed from germinating. The heavy rains, I waited a couple weeks and reseeded. The heavy rains came and washed my seed away out into the streets where the birds of the air did gather and carry it off. I used a rake to loosen the soil and reseeded. This time the seed stayed when the rains came. Some grass sprouted. I reseeded. Some more grass sprouted. I reseeded again. And now that it's summer, I finally have some grass growing on that old bare spot. But it wasn't easy. And in refusing to give up, I sure ended up throwing a lot of grass seed at that spot. I guess you could label my approach to agriculture, to seed grass growing, as aggressive agriculture. And aggressive agriculture is what I think we also have going on in our text for today. A farmer went out to sow his seed, the text says, and so aggressive and extravagant was he with that seed that he scatters it everywhere, even where it will not sprout and grow to maturity and end up bearing fruit. Think about that for a minute. The parable identifies four different places, four different kinds of soil wherein the sower sows his seed. Three of the four places turn out to be totally unfruitful, and on only 25%, only on a mere quarter of the ground that gets the good seed, does something good happen. And I don't know about you, but that frustrates me to no end. You see, I am all about effective ministry. I am very much in favor of working smarter instead of working harder. My shelf life here on this earth is so limited that I am constantly driven towards doing right things and doing things right. In other words, I don't want to waste my time, energy, or effort on unfruitful endeavors. And the farmer in the parable sure seems to be wasting his time, energy, and effort, 75% of it to be exact, in unfruitful endeavors. And that exasperates me to no end. It seems like such a waste. And I don't think I'm the only one who feels that way. So how does this parable challenge our understanding about being faithful with our time, with our energy, with our effort, and with our service? When I was pastoring full time, I often caught myself wondering if we in the church should be wasting baptism on children whose parents probably wouldn't show up in church again until it was time to have the next child baptized. I asked myself, why should I be busting my backside teaching Luther's small catechism to some kid when his parents won't even show up for church? Why fritter away time with unrepentant sinners? Should we be mailing newsletters to people who probably never read them? Why do mass mailings? Why organize community events knowing how much of that time and paper will end up being wasted? But then it is the farmer in the parable who pulls me up short, because he doesn't appear to be overly concerned about with how bad the soil may or may not be. Instead, he appears to be entirely focused on and wholly devoted to the sowing of the seed. Brothers and sisters, this is aggressive agriculture in action. You see, all of you who have gardeners as acquaintances will soon enough come to realize what I'm talking about here. In the spring of the year, these people will plant 20 to 30 tomato plants, wondering all along if they'll ever get enough tomatoes for just one tossed salad. But in a few months, they have tomatoes. And they're stuffing them in bags and putting them in the refrigerator and asking their neighbors if they'll take a dozen or two off their hands and bringing them to chapel to throw at profs who preach too long. But that's how sowing works. Every farmer, every gardener understands it. First, you must sow if you're ever going to reap. Second, you will reap more than you sow. So the farmer in the parable is aggressive in his sowing, and he's extravagant with his seed because he knows that in the end he will experience an exponential return on his investment. The text says it this way: "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word of God and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." So then, instead of obsessing over the quality of the soil, instead of getting ourselves wrapped around that particular axle, perhaps our Lord is instead encouraging an aggressive and extravagant approach to the sowing of the seed of his word, because if we hoard the seed for ourselves, never casting it out on the ground, it certainly won't find root and grow and produce fruit. Seed that is never sown has failed in its purpose for existing. The word has not been given to us to remain the private, personal possession of those who understand it. Many of the congregations in our church body and the believers in them are not sowing God's word out in the world. The problem with people not hearing and not understanding and not bearing fruit today is not necessarily that they are bad soil. Rather, it is because the sowers are failing to spread the word in speech and action beyond the comfortable confines of their local congregations. Which means that something must change, that we must change if we're going to become aggressive and extravagant in our seed sowing. And that happens when the seed, when the word of the Lord is continuously sown in us, when it continuously sprouts and grows in us, and we bear much fruit. That seed is sown and re-sown in us whenever we read, hear, learn, study, or talk about the person and work of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus loves you so much that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross for you. It is baptism that incorporates us into all of this. You came, or you were brought to the font, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, a miracle happened in you. You were incorporated into all that Jesus says and does for you, and you were given the right and the responsibility to confess with the whole church on earth, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. That's the gospel. That's the seed that's been planted and grown in you and that you are to plant in others. The Bible says it this way. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we do. We live a new life. And like the farmer in the parable, we become aggressive and extravagant in sowing the seed of God's word in people out there in the world. Because we know and believe that in the end, our Lord will realize an exponential return in his investment in us and in our investment in them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.